Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So first things first, we were just talking about this. Katie has been a frequent guest show previous years. We were friends from the pre-2020 year, OG Bookstagrammers, but she's a part of a duo also. It's K-Squared Reads, I think. It's
K-Squared Reads, yes.
K-Squared Reads. And so the other...
And I'm only one half.
And the other K is Kalisa. And we're just chatting that we're just talking to Kalisa, but she's busy. So
yeah,
she's probably going to be listening to us. So shout out to Kalisa.
Love you, Kalisa.
She's just busy being a mom and just like surviving 2025, this kind of stuff. But Katie, what have you been up to? So I think you were talking about your wedding or like before wedding.
It's been a while. I think we did talk about after the wedding because I think you were asking something about wedding planning the last time we spoke.
No, because we didn't report on that. We talked about it.
Yeah, we chatted about that.
Yeah, we chatted because I thought I was going to write a book about weddings. Uh-huh. Destination weddings, and I think Kalisa was planned to do her original wedding was supposed to be in Big Sur, and then she had to like quickly actually had a disaster and had to restart it and go over. And you were about,
yes, and I remember telling you about how like what a wizard she is because she had to literally replan her entire wedding in I don't know maybe a week, maybe less or so because. Yeah, no, it was crazy. So I knew that when I had my own personal disaster, like 4 days before our wedding, I was like, obviously she was the first person I called. I was like, I don't have an officiant. What do I do?
My God.
We've had two officiants bail on us. And I was like three, four days before the wedding, no officiants. And I remember I called her in a panic. I called her crying. And she's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to find a list of people and you're going to call your coordinator. We're going to get this handled. And we did. So, but yeah, Kalisa, she's the best.
So we talked about weddings, and yes. At one point I was going to write weddings, but I have other plans as I may share in this podcast later on. New things are happening in the horizon, but Katie, what have you been up to?
Okay, well, I don't know how active you are in the realm of TikTok, but I feel like I've mostly just been, if not reading, I'm mostly like posting my book content there and then kind of trickling back over to Instagram.
Yes.
So, and I feel so weird about it because I'm still using the K-Squared Reads tag.
It's okay. You know what? It was when you were before that, Kalisa was handling the DMs for a long time. So it was always like you just had to figure out who was handling what. So we're trudging along and I love your content that you've made it through. I don't go on TikTok because my neurodiversity gets really triggered.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize, by the way, I realized I have a lot of trauma in my brain. Just this, like, the chemistry change. Like, it's very, like, spicy. Mm-hmm. And so I need dopamine blockers. And because TikTok has so much dopamine, it just becomes, like, too, like, down the rabbit hole. And technically, I'm not allowed to go to TikTok. Because I just...
That's fair.
Too much.
That's fair. That's so.
So I get it curated. And so I love your content. I love like the dress up. I love like what you're doing, just having fun with it. So yes. Yeah.
And that's literally what I've mostly been doing. I feel like a lot of my stuff is really niche because we were just talking about works just now. But yeah, a lot of the very quickie cosplay videos I've been doing on there is just for that series in particular. So,
yeah.
But I've been getting a lot to work with.
Yes, which is kind of like fun, honestly. We're just in weird times, so this is one little escape for it. I love that you're cosplaying, which is like you've been doing this. It's just bringing it up to the forefront and just having fun with it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of cosplaying?
Okay, so I didn't actually, I actually kind of was doing a lot more elaborate cosplays back in like the 20, like around 2015, 2016. And I started getting into it because my husband, back then boyfriend, we wanted to go to comic conventions together. So we started cosplaying together and he really got me into it because he was kind of dabbling in it before I ever was. But since I've always been really into Halloween and dress up and I was like, oh, okay, let's actually do this. So our first big cosplay that he and I did together was Spider-Man and Black Cat. And I don't know if you've checked out some of the older, you'd have to scroll back pretty far in my personal Instagram, but I have some really pretty awesome photos from those convention days. But that's kind of where that got started. And then in more recent years for TikTok, it's not nearly as elaborate because thanks to filters and all that, I only really have to throw on an easy costume and, my ever-growing collection of wigs.
Yes.
That I'm hanging on the back of my, I'm staring at them right now. It's like a bunch of hair hanging on my wall. But yeah, no, it's just so fun. It's just so fun to just kind of, I think one of the processes as far as the TikTok cosplays is just finding the sound clips that just work, just finding the right sound bite and being like, oh, this works for this character. I'm so going to do this. So I have a list of different things I've been trying to do. But yeah, and I'm always very happy with how it comes out. So
they're fun. I really love this. And I love the idea, like, you're actually having a creative space for you to do that. And yes, you know, the filters help and the sound play. It's just essentially making your little mini movies and making your interesting experience. Yeah.
And it's really fun because a lot of the characters I've been cosplaying are from the Orcsworn series by Finley Fenn. And she's actually seen like pretty much all of my cosplay videos and responded to them. She loves it. And I love that she's actually shared a couple of them in her newsletter. So I remember one day I woke up and I was getting a flood of notifications all of a sudden. And I was just like, what is happening? And then I opened my inbox and I'm scrolling through her newsletter and then suddenly, boom, there's my face. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that was fun.
That's amazing. I'm so glad you're like, you're finding your own little niche. And actually,
it's nice, it's nice to be able to carve your little space. And I don't really do... I mean, I know that you say you're not on TikTok, and I'm honestly just building up my own little community there because I don't follow a lot of big content creators on there. I just kind of, I'm just looking for my people.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you're there for creation, it can be a great place to create. It's a great place to interact. If you're there for consumption, it depends on, like, where you are. Like, it can just, it's very, like, it's, the algorithm can know who you like, and it will just feed you. And then you kind of have to be like, okay, do I need to? Did I lose 3 hours of my time? Just being fat?
Yeah. I find when I am creating, I am doing a lot less doom scrolling. So that, nice. which I think is really nice. I like interacting with people and not just kind of swipe.
Yeah. I think that's weird. Like, we just need to create. We just need to publish, put things together, put things out in the world. I think for me, I like long form content, obviously, because I love the podcast and I like just writing like long Substacks and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's funny you're a niche to create something because I think in some ways we live in a world that we're fed up with like, we gotta do, like just to stay by. And the art of creation allows you to have something for you and it's something to give you meaning and it gives you forward to that. You're not so tied down to what do I do for work? What do I do? What's happening in the politics? What's happening in the space? What's going on with family? Like,
yeah,
you're actually doing your own like little space and you're finding connections and finding friends and having people to talk to and support and have this like little hobbies that are actually meaningful to you.
Yeah. And let's see, other than that, what else have I been up to? So I was just telling Khaleesi yesterday that I am definitely deep in my fan fiction era again.
Yes.
Because it comes and goes in waves because I have a new special interest. I don't know if you've seen K-pop Demon Hunters on Netflix.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm obsessed.
And so how's a fan of K-pop Demon Hunters?
Well, I mean, I haven't really kind of got so far deep, but honestly, I think everyone's having fun, but I am enjoying seeing a lot of the cosplay content for that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely bringing up a lot, like, again, because there's so much like to work with. I think it definitely has got a lot of people's creative juices flowing for the fanfic community. So,
I'm devil in fanfiction a couple times. The original fanfiction I dabble was The Summer of Turn Pretty, the books.
Okay.
Not the series. I haven't watched the series at all because I have strong feelings around the books and how the book ended. And I had to go to fanfiction. There was not a lot of fanfiction at this time. I know now I should be thriving.
Yes. When it's made to a series, that's when it's gone mainstream. And that's when all the fan fiction is going to happen. Yeah. But I have that same feeling, though, with books that I really love that were turned into shows or movies. I don't usually like to go into the shows or the movies if I really have a certain connection with the book. What show have I not seen? People keep asking me, have I watched Discovery of Witches? And I'm like, no, I read the book and I haven't finished the series yet. And I don't want it. Have any perception in my brain other than what I already had in there when I was reading the first book.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm like, it just, yeah. It depends. Like some movies I'm like excited to see. I'm excited to see people we meet on vacation and whatnot. But then others, I did not see The Hating Game, and I love The Hating Game. Like
I did watch it, and it was okay. It was okay, but it was, again, but not, I don't know. I think there was a little too much. Honestly, what bothered me most was any kind of change in Josh's character dynamic.
Yeah.
I think they were too afraid to make him book accurate.
Yes.
I think they were too afraid. So I was just like, nah.
But we also have to take into account that these books, like, The Hating Game was written in 2016. And they were, like, the male characters were very different at that time than they are now. Like, we have more alpha males. Like, the level alpha males that we had, it was like, yes, full of red flags, but now we have a lot of cinnamon rolls, golden retrievers, men go to therapy and all this different thing. I'm like, yeah, great. But we had like terrible men that were sexy.
Yeah.
That was like when we read at that time. Like,
yeah. I realized, yeah, looking back, like in the early 2010s, like even the ones that I, before Bookstagram was really a thing, I do remember, what did I read? I just remember it was about, I think it was like a boxer, an underground fighter. Yeah. And he was really, looking back on it, he was really toxic. I'm just like, I would have hated this book if I read it now.
Yeah. I don't know. We went to therapy and then we were like, oh no, this is all bad stuff. But at the time, it was like the toxic, the batter. Like, I remember reading Tell Me Lies and being like, oh my gosh, so like, I've seen this happen to me before. And it was like this normal thing. And now I see the show and he's like a terrible man. He's like scheming things. And I'm like, but the book was so good because he was so terrible. It was so toxic.
I think we also had to come to terms with ourselves that what we enjoy in our fiction is definitely not what we enjoy in real life. Not even close. And it does make me sad that we kind of have to justify that to people who, because I didn't think that I liked dark romance at all. I think because ever since I read Credence, which was a dark romance, I didn't know it was a dark romance. I hate it. I didn't like the book, but I think Penelope is a great author, but I didn't like care for that book. But at the time I was like, okay, so I don't like dark romance. Oh no, I do. I just have to dabble in different ones. And there are still like plenty of toxic NMCs that I really, but it just has to be, I don't know if they have to evolve in a certain way within the book or something.
And it's just, or you just realize that this is part of the morally gray. I think, the expectation of men to be too perfect, it's not realistic. Honestly, we see men terrible in the internet. We see them like, this is a funny story. I'm going to retire about dating apps and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, there's a new dating app called Bumble. And I was like, it's not new. It's true. Like, it's not new. I was like, this is my take. The difference between Tinder and Bumble is when you get a dick pic, you already Tinder, you can just get it right away. But a Bumble, the girl has to approach him. And then you get a dick pic. It's like, it's afterward. That's really where the dating pool is a little bit different, all different things. But the Bumble is you have to actually ask for it. And so obviously men in real life are terrible, but like sometimes a female fantasy of a perfect man is not real. And I think sometimes morally gray feels a little bit more realistic.
More realistic, more rounded, because I did notice that when a guy is too perfect or too golden retriever, the book tends to be kind of boring.
Yes.
And like, that was it. Exactly. I need conflict. I was explaining this to my husband, who prefers friends to lovers more than enemies to lovers, which is fair. That's how our relationship was. But I'm like, well, with enemies to lovers, there's much more of a journey, especially when if they're both semi-toxic, you're like, oh, how are these people going to fall in love? What's like, how does this going to work? So it's that journey. And when it's done really well, that's my kryptonite right there.
Yes. I love this. All right, so let's talk some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend or listeners to pick up, as always?
Okay. So when we're talking about, when you mentioned to me about orcs, I immediately just thought, okay, monster romance.
Yes.
So I have a ton, but I'll start with the series that I was talking about that I was cosplaying. So the Orc Sworn series by Finley Fenn is amazing. And I think we just passed book 9. And I think she's working on 10 right now. But yeah, it's really good. And I think it has pretty much almost every dynamic you could possibly want. A lot of morally gray heroes. Every book can be read as a standalone, which is great. I actually started the series by reading Librarian in the Orc, which is book 3. So you can definitely read each one as a standalone, but I highly recommend starting at the beginning and working all the way through because it is such a vast world with a lot of characters. And of course, side characters appear in books all the time that will eventually get their own story. So it is such a, it's a long series. It's all on KU. It's worth it.
Yes. And I think the audios are available, so there's audio options.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a lovely time. And there's all the dynamics because there's queer, there's straight, there's all freaking dynamics of orcs. And it's sometimes a little bit more darker from my understanding than a regular cozy rom-com-y romance.
Yeah, I think some books are definitely aiming more like a little bit more fuzzy than others. I did cry. Reading book one, when I read book one, I did cry. And I remember because I'm also on her Facebook group, on the fan group, and I was like, do it again. Make me cry again.
Yes. So other monsters do we have?
I am currently reading right now. I am actually currently reading Bull Moon Rising by Ruby Dixon. And that one, that's fun.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, so and our MC Hawk, our Minotaur, is actually fairly golden retriever, actually, which is actually really funny. But yeah, no, that one's a really good time. Again, haven't finished it yet, so I'm not giving anything away, but that one's fun. Let me see. Other mouths. Ooh, okay. Do you know Tiffany Roberts? Yes. That author duo? Yeah, I love them. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the first book of theirs that I read was Ensnared, the Spider's Mate series.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I love that one so much. I think Kalisa sent that to me, being like, this guy's like spider alien. I think she was going to, okay, there's absolutely no way. And I'm like, well, let me go ahead and read this. So I thought I didn't know what to expect. I loved it.
Yes.
It's so good. Like, they're so good. And the characters are so well developed. The world is so lush. It is amazing. And I will always support authors that are so anti-AI. I will follow them forever. I love them.
I love them. Yeah, I love the spider romance. I've seen it quite a few times, and I'll put the image in the in the show notes and stuff. So
yay!
Also, so tell us where we can find you. I know you talked about TikTok. TikTok is probably your main platform.
It's definitely the main book one that I'm on right now. And I'm still posting on our Instagram, Kate Squared Reads Instagram. But a lot of what I'm posting there is already posted on TikTok first because it's just. And then for me personally, there's also my Instagram at Pixie Spells. So, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
Thank you, Katie, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Thanks for listening to The What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit thewhattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.